Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. Today, we have the privilege of chatting with Natasha Smith. Natasha is a grief advocate, speaker, and podcast host. She shares from a place of 30 plus years of lived grief experience, research, and biblical study. Her work has appeared in Guidepost, Propel Women, Influence Magazine, Her Bible, and elsewhere. She and her husband, Clinton, have four children and live outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. Her new book, Can You Just Sit With Me? Healthy Grieving for the Losses of Life, is now available wherever books are sold. In this episode, we discuss how to walk alongside people in the church who face loss and grief. Natasha offers practical advice for those of us who struggle with how to offer support to the grieving and teaches us the importance of grief work. Now, let's get to this important conversation.
Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastor's Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastor's wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastor's wives stereotypes within the church.
We want pastor's wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Whoop, whoop, whoop,
whoop. Hey, Natasha, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, how are you? I'm so excited to be here. I'm doing pretty good.
We are pumped to have you because you have quite the story. And we actually discovered you because we share a literary agent, Mary DeMuth. So it's like we're book sisters.
Shout out to Mary DeMuth.
Yes. It's so sweet to meet my sisters.
I know.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Now, I, the other day, read through some of your book and I was just heartbroken. Just hearing your story, but also seeing the goodness of God through how you have just leaned on Him and amid all of the things that you've been through. And I think like some of us, you know, we complain or we have, and honestly, I'm not downplaying anybody's hard thing they've been through, but if anybody has probably felt like Job at some point, I feel like it's you. And I think you're the perfect person to write this book on grief and how to walk through that when you're the one that's faced with it and faced with loss.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you could start by just sharing a little bit of your personal testimony of grief, just so we have a starting point here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. So I sat with grief for over 30 plus years, meaning like just grief started coming even in my teenage years. And from there, you know, I've lost half of my immediate family, my dad, my two older sisters. And that it's been really devastating just with my sisters being that they were so young, you know, one died at 32, one died at 42. Mm. And then later after that, my dad. And then the murder of my nephew, which was also another devastating thing. And even as I mentioned these things, it's kind of like, did I watch this on a movie? You know, it feels like a lifetime drama, really. And so, and even with the, like the person loss, like the loss of loved ones, you know, I've also faced non-death related losses, like the loss of career and the loss of identity, you know, so that those things as well. And so it's been like a crazy, crazy journey of, like I said, just sitting with that grief and then just allowing the Lord to lead me into how do I come out of this and how do I process this and really just relying on Him to take the steps to a path to healing and wholeness, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think to myself, like grief, I think we think that just means losing loved ones, but you went through even more than that. You talk about just even the racial tension amid the pandemic and how people weren't just sitting and listening to your heart through that and you were grieving. And then there was a child you gave up for adoption and you yes. were grieving. And I think that loss comes in so many different forms and people don't realize, like, you have to walk through grief, whatever loss it is. It's not just because of death.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for bringing that up, because those can be what is called an invisible grief. Like, you know, if you saw me, met me, hadn't read my book, you wouldn't know, you know, that I'm I grieve that every single day. Like my adoption story, you know, I grieve it. I'm like, where is it? You know, I grieve it deeply, and you wouldn't know that about me. And so it kind of begs the point where we say you never know what someone is walking through. And so just be kind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sit with them, which is what your book title is all about. So you did at a young age start to really have grief and loss in your life in different ways. In your early years, how did you deal with that? Did you push down those feelings? Did you talk about them? Did you really truly grieve? How was that process early on in your life?
Yeah, so it was non-existent. I did not deal with it at all. And so, yeah, I pushed it down, stuffed it, even what I would call like memory block some of the things, like that didn't happen to me, you know. And that's really, as I mentioned, like 30 years of that and like just not dealing with it. And just imagine it's compounding. It keeps, it keeps happening and it keeps compounding. And so literally just not doing anything with it. And then 2020 happened and, and literally like, as you know, we were seeing dead bodies on TV, you know, like the news would flash, like, you know, paramedics carting people out. And so we saw death was like looking us in the face wherever we turned and where we, you know, listen, even in churches, you know, everything was dark. And so the only thing that I could like really, really think was, this is how I've been feeling on the inside. And like grief is everywhere. And I've been feeling this like so heavy. And so 2020 was like that pivotal point of, okay, I've got to do something with all of this grief. And so I really started to write and really started to tell my story, but in small bits and pieces on social media. And it started to resonate with people like, me too. You know, I feel this. And
I like how you said invisible grief. I wanted to share this real quick because I lost my best friend to cancer back in 2010, and that was a very hard year. I also went through a couple other losses that year, but I pretended it didn't happen. That's how I could cope. And I did not sit with it. I did not probably grieve the way I should have until years later. I would call her phone and listen to the voicemail and pretend until her husband finally cut it off. I mean, he left it on for a while, but I would listen to her voice and pretend like, oh, she's just busy. Literally, that's what I would tell myself.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I could function.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we don't want to cry. We don't want to face it.
Yeah.
It's like denial.
Yes.
It is. Yeah, I did that exact same thing with my oldest sister. She passed when I was a sophomore in college, and that was like a really big, heavy hitter for me because she was only 32. And that is one of the things I did to cope as well. Like I would say, well, I haven't seen her in a while, but she's back home. Like it was, I don't want to say weird, but that's what I did to cope. And so, like you said, I think a lot of people do that because we don't know what else to do.
And I think there are a lot of people who are probably going through some grief and loss, whether it be, you know, loss of a loved one or this invisible loss and this invisible grief like you're talking about. So let's talk about some steps that you took to begin that healing process. I know writing, you said, was one of them. Are there any other things that you kind of did to help you walk through this healing?
Yeah, I love this question because for me, it was almost as if like it wasn't intentional, meaning like I didn't totally seek it out. But now that I'm on like the other side of it, I can say this is kind of the progression. And so for one, for me, engaging with God was the biggest thing, because yes, I didn't feel like I had a safe person to talk to, or safe place or safe group that I could really share like all of the things, where I wouldn't get judged, or I wouldn't be shamed, mm-hmm. or I wouldn't be like, you still crying about that, you know, those type of things. And so mm-hmm. engaging with God was the biggest thing. Like I took it to him truly. And then when like only a few years ago, since 2020, engaging with others in safe community. So that was the other huge thing. When you can find a safe community, I mean, that is gold.
Yes.
You know, when you can find safe community. So engaging with God, engaging with others, and then engaging with in grief work. And so it's work, and it's so hard, but I am so much better and so much healthier than I was in years and years past. So engaging in grief work, like beginning acknowledging all the losses, that was a huge thing. Yeah. And then if it's your thing, engaging in counseling as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's your testimony. Yeah. You know, we don't get to choose our testimony. It comes to us every single day. God, you know, is showing us new things. We are going through new things. He is bringing us out of new things and different seasons in our life. And, you know, when you talk with people about grief, and when you talk with people about loss and trauma, you know, in the moment, they're not going to see that this is going to be for God's glory one day. Mm. You know, you even don't want to even say that when they're in the thick of what is going on. Mm-hmm. But you can kind of sit back and go, man, like the Lord is going to use this one day for his glory. And I just, you know, as you're talking, going, God, thank you for her story. I know she would not want to relive it or anything, but she chose because he gives us a choice to walk in obedience and to walk through and going through writing a book, reliving everything, going through counseling, reliving everything, being in talking with others and counseling them through. You're reliving, but God gives us, you know, renewed strength every day to do things that look impossible to the human eye, but are possible through Jesus. So, you know, man, I'm just proud of you, proud of what you're doing, and it needs to be just preached from the mountaintops. And of course, we're going to talk about how, you know, this can help the church as well.
Yeah. So much. We are pastors' wives and church leaders. And actually, Jessica's actually on staff at her church as well. And so we walk with people through grief a lot, especially like my husband has done that so many times with so many different people. In fact, he just preached a funeral on Saturday and had to sit with the family. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, but grief makes people uncomfortable. I don't know what it is, but we become little awkward middle schoolers when it comes to grief. And we're like, so true. Hi, are you okay? I'm like, of course they're not okay, but like, we don't know what to say or what to do. It's just, it's weird and uncomfortable. And then as the person grieving, you find yourself trying to make everybody else feel better, mm-hmm. which then That's becomes true. Very awkward for yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and I don't think that people mean to be like this. None of us want to be awkward, you know, but it just happens sometimes with grief. And then we'll throw out maybe some cliches like, well, they knew Jesus, so they're in a better place. As if they're wanting the person grieving to be like, yes, amen, you know, and be strong for you so that you don't have to feel awkward. Did you find that people did that to you? Because I feel like I've heard it over and over again with different families. And here's the thing, like, we have to be better at just sitting with people, listening, letting them cry, whatever they need to say, not having the right answer.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm wondering, how can we as the church actually be there for people in times of loss and grief? Like, what do grieving people really need from us?
Mm-hmm. I truly believe it's going to sound simple, but empathy and compassion. So the two things that Jesus like really embodied here on earth, you know, and left for us in his word, you know, I always go back to him as being our ultimate example of sitting with others, and showing that compassion, you know, towards them, you know, him looking at the crowd and even saying, having compassion on them, and being able to, you know, weep when they're weeping and, rejoicing when they rejoice. But as far as, you know, like what does that look like? You know, one thing I was thinking about, because, you know, I thought about this a lot, even as I was writing the book and just even afterwards, but, and I know some churches have ministry teams that kind of take care of things, or connect groups, you know, that people can plug in, but just having maybe those first touches, like when someone lose someone, you know, if there's some type of bereavement team, you know, that can just reach out and say, here are some resources, and literally sit with them, right? Sit with them, whether it's in their home or in the hospital or wherever, but having just like some type of direct contact. Because one thing that I know, even though I'm not on staff and I'm not like a pastor's wife or anything, but you guys do a lot. And you have a lot of weight on you, and just so many things that you have to do that often that church members or congregation are not privy to even see all the things. And so, but having, you know, some type of ministry team that could come alongside to be representation of, you know, the quote, the church, to say, you know, my church reached out, you know, they continue to reach out maybe on a monthly basis to support, or they gave me this list of resources that can help me, you know. So it's just practical ways, I think,
I like how you were saying to even reach out like monthly or.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, because grief sometimes hits hardest like 3 to 6 months afterwards.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of forgotten about it and moved on.
Absolutely.
But I love that you said that, because we do need people who are consciously saying, oh, I need to reach out to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a year, but it's the anniversary too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's hard. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah. Hey friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful. And we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Yeah, I was thinking also, you know, with church, and a lot of times staff and pastors' wives and pastors, they could also be dealing with grief, things that are happening in their own lives. And as I kind of was reading over, you know, this next question for me, like, I know I can literally go back to a time in my life where, and I am totally okay now, guys, but like I was at Emory, figuring out if I had an autoimmune disease that was kind of a rare one and kind of scary and just unknown. Yeah. And I remember the day that we got the results and they were a positive. And then literally the next day we had one of our church members and really close family member, families in our church. He passed away in a tragic accident. And in that moment, for me, and I have a hard time anyways being vulnerable and talking about my feelings, but I went into like, I'm there to help them, and forgot all about that I just got diagnosed with the autoimmune disease. And that grief was happening for weeks and weeks, and it was really a lot of trauma. And of course I wanted to be there, but also I think back and go, I feel like I even put more into it because I was trying to not think about my own life. And so there are other stubborn pastors' wives, pastors, and ministry leaders that are a lot like me. And they're not really good at sitting in their own grief, especially when they have to help and counsel someone else in the church that something comes up in their life. So can you also kind of share with us some practical tips for people like me that really need to learn, even in the process of dealing with someone else's grief, to deal with my own?
Mm-hmm. I think one important thing to note is, like, the healthier we are and the healthier we become, we're able to help others more. Yes. And one thing that I learned is, like, when we don't deal with our grief, it comes out in different ways that right. are not the yes. best ways, whether it is being short-tempered, irritable, yeah. And you don't really have that space or capacity to really be there for yeah. Yeah. someone else in the way that you could be. And so just some practical things, you have to make space for it. Like, the grief needs a place to go. And so, you know, in making space, whether it's journaling or even engaging in some type of grief work and a grief exercise, like acknowledging the grief or acknowledging what the loss is, mm-hmm. like what have you lost? What are you losing? You know, what is that? And then kind of assessing the emotion, you know, assigning an emotion to go with that. Like, how yeah. it, does this loss make me feel? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it bringing up? And how is it like informing my decisions and my actions mm-hmm. and the way that I'm going to possibly interact with my congregation or my coworkers mm-hmm. or my family,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And then bringing that to God, so that those three things can be like just a, I don't want to say quick, but kind of like a quick little assessment of, you know, like, I have this loss and I have all these other things that are going on that I need to do to, like, work and ministry, but I have this loss and I need to make space for it to mm-hmm. acknowledge it, to assign an emotion, and to take it to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing is the emotion. Yeah. I know all three of us are kind of, you know, reading a book about feelings right now. And I think yeah. that's one of the hardest things is we're not learning how to deal with our feelings.
Right.
Yes.
And so I think, like, that's a huge point that you're, but, like, let's even go deeper. How do we deal with those feelings that we mm-hmm. have pushed down for so long, mm-hmm. That we have been trained to push down because mm-hmm. we have to keep going?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the other caveat, I think.
Right. Because, like, we've got to teach others yeah. to do the same. We've got to yeah. teach others to recognize their feelings and actually, you know, walk through the healing process of grief as well. And if we're not doing those things, mm-hmm. then how can we teach others?
Yeah. We just teach people how to pretend everything's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Literally. That is what church leaders have done.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. That's so
we
true.
We got to do a better job.
And it's just a season, guys. It'll be okay. You know, it's just a season,
yep.
you know, or like, look towards the next
say.
One and, yeah. you know, like, and we don't allow people to sit in their feelings.
Yeah.
That is something I really try to, you know, in that grieving, like, let people know when you're just sitting with them and literally feeding them food because they can't function, like, letting them know it's okay.
Yeah.
To yeah. be right where you're at right now.
Yeah.
It's okay for you yeah. to go, like, scream in your closet.
Yes.
Do whatever yeah. you need to do. Don't harm yourself and don't harm others, but, like, you yeah. do what you yeah. need
right.
to do.
Right.
Like, I think we have to give them space to
yes.
feel.
And yeah.
You know?
One of the lies, or, like, I say lies. I know mm-hmm. that people, I get what they're where they're trying to go with this, but I always heard, don't be a victim. Mm-hmm. Don't be a victim.
Yeah.
You are an overcomer.
Yeah.
And I just yeah. want to be like, it's too much. It's too much.
It is yeah. too much. I'm so glad you said that. It's so true. And one thing that I learned, like, just from research and, like, because there's a lot of, you know, brain science and stuff dealing with grieving that scientists are discovering as well. But it's like, we don't have the capacity to process what that means. I'm an overcomer. I hurt. I am literally right. hurting yes. right now, like right. crushed. Mm-hmm. And so my brain cannot even process it because my emotions are so high
right.
From the grief. And so we can't even mm-hmm. process even, like, just a scripture sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. why we need that community to come alongside to be our help and hope, but not to shove scripture down our throats at that particular
right,
moment
exactly.
or platitudes, right? right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what Stephanie was saying with the awkwardness. Like, I
yeah.
think people, when they don't know how to react, they almost become these selfish beings because
yeah.
they don't want to feel and be in the moment with the person that is feeling.
That's so true.
That's true.
And so I think like we have to do better just as humans to allow people to sit in their loss and absolutely. Be there and be awkward and it's okay. And to sit in silence. I mean, did you have some really good people in your life that did that for you?
You know, so typically when I answer that question, I'm like, no, you know, but the more I dug down a little bit deeper, I did. I actually did. And it was actually one of my bosses, and this was actually on campus, which was amazing that God brought this memory back to my mind. And so my sister had died again when I was a sophomore in college, and I worked on campus as an orientation counselor. Mm-hmm. And so my boss, who was also like a doctor in psychology.
Wow.
And so he was a counselor, like counselor education type person, but he sat with me in his office and I cried and I was talking about my sister, and it was so amazing.
Yeah.
It was just so amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, Dr. Callanan sat with me during that time. And that's like the only recollection, like true recollection that I have of someone sitting with me too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Speaking of sitting with you, you wrote a book called Can You Just Sit With Me? Healthy Grieving for the Losses of Life. So do you think that this is a book that pastors should read and use as a resource for those who are dealing with loss? And tell us a little bit about how you think that this book can help the church as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely think it would be helpful for pastors and teachers and anyone really.
Everybody.
Like who is, everyone who's navigating. So if you're navigating grief, it's a great resource if you are supporting someone who is. It's also a great resource. And I think it's because it has the, it has story in it, of course, to help people feel not so alone, but it has also relevant resource to say, this is how I'm feeling and this is why I'm feeling that way, and gives language to how you're feeling. Because that was one thing that I discovered. I was like, even as I was researching for the book, I was like, oh, so that's, that's why I was angry. I was, thought that I was angry, but I was really grieving, So it was just giving language to how I was feeling. And then the biblical aspect of it is so, to me, is so rich. And I know I wrote it, so it sounds weird that
I'm saying
but it's like I didn't know how threaded the Bible is with pain, loss, suffering, and grief, because I hadn't heard a lot of people preach about it. And I actually had did like this little survey thing on my Facebook page to say, how have you heard a sermon or message outside of like a memorial service or funeral, like regarding grief? I was surprised because it was about half and half. Wow. I was expecting, a lot of people to say no, but it was about half and half. And so, which to me is great. To hear that, more churches are talking about more about grief, and it could have been 2020, that pivotal point of, everyone.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a great resource. Even, I think some churches, like you plan out like what you're going to speak on throughout the year, and possibly using one of those overarching themes or topics, even from the book, whether, does God understand? So you have that space to talk about loss and grief, but not in your face, like death, dying, so like questions about, does God understand, or even, you can do deep dives, like permission to grieve, because we lose so much, and a lot of times we're not even aware that the things that we lose, that they're deemed worthy to be grieved. So I think it's just a lot of different ways that the book can be used by the church. Definitely small group. I'm doing walking through the book with a group of women. This is my first group with my book, and it's just been so cool. Amazing. Like just the freedom of them being, having the space, right? Yeah. The space to actually grieve and to tell someone else, confessing to another so they can receive healing with these losses. So it can be used in different ways, whether like in a church congregational setting or small group type settings. And then of course, individually, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
Good. Needs to be the book you give out months later. Like, don't just hand it to them right when, you know.
That might not be.
But a few months later when they're ready, you know, it'd be such a good book.
Yeah.
Okay, Natasha. We love what you're doing. We are excited about this book and how it can help others. So I want you to tell our listeners where they can follow along with you and purchase this book.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So you can follow along on I am Natasha Smith, anywhere across social. And then you can buy the book wherever books are sold, whether Amazon, also on my website as well. I'm natashasmith.com. So anywhere the books are sold, or catch me across social at I'm Natasha Smith.
Yes, awesome. Yay.
I'm sorry, we just totally said that at the same time.
Awesome. Jinx. Okay, so we have come to, you know, the end of this podcast, but we have three questions that we usually ask our pastor's wives, but we have switched them up especially for you, Natasha. Okay.
Do you feel special?
Do you feel special?
I do feel so special. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so here we go. So if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice about grief you would eventually face, what would you say?
Get help as soon as possible.
Mm. Mic drop.
That's so good.
Yep, just leave it there. That was good.
Okay, number two. What do you do for fun to get your mind off of writing and grief work?
So it was like a hard question, but it's not, because I do life to have fun. I do paint, like, so I love anything artsy. Like, I've been loving art since I can remember. So I paint, and then I crochet. It's kind of a funny story because my dad taught us how to crochet.
Wow.
Of course, my dad is I know, right? Yeah. And I'm not sure who he learned it from, but and because he's no longer with us, and so I just started picking it up in the last year or so, and I made a sweater for the first time.
An entire sweater.
Impressed. Wow, good job.
But it's like a little mindless action kind of. So it's like, it's so soothing. Yes. So crocheting, and then I like trying like new foods at restaurants. Like restaurant hopping. That's kind of fun.
That sounds awesome.
Ooh, yeah, we'll join you in that. Yes. Let's go eat all the food.
All the food. In moderation, we mean.
Yes, of course.
Do we mean that?
I don't know. It depends on the day if we mean that. I don't know. Yes.
Anyway, final question. This is a biggie. If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen and respond, what would you tell them?
That is a big one. I would tell them that, kind of based on that scripture, like two are better than one. So don't do grief alone. Like don't do it alone. And just to remember how deeply, deeply God cares for them. And he's concerned about the things that concern them, including their grief, in that how we have a suffering savior who knows exactly what they're going through, even though it feels like no one does. Yeah, and so he fully, truly understands their pain and suffering. And he sits with us, and he's sitting with them in this pain and grief. And he's the one who's able to provide the comfort, peace, and peace that they need.
Love that. Thank you, Natasha, for sharing all of your wisdom and stories. We so appreciate what you're doing. It is needed.
For sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you are so a delight to be with.
Yay.
Yes, you are such a delight.
We
love it.
All the time.
Oh my God.
Oh, she used to. Look at that. We have found a friend.
We have.
Why are you so far away from us?
We are soul sisters. We are.
Yes.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. Indeed.
That makes me so happy.
Most of the time people are like, oh no, I can't do that. Or they're like, you don't want to hear my accent. But you just embraced it.
I know. She's so proud of you.
She even got excited. I saw it in her eyes. Yes. Because she was like, I love you're my people. That's what I feel.
Yes, we are.
Well, thank you, Natasha, so much for being on this episode today. And we are praying that it goes out to so many people and just they find healing through your testimony. So thank you.
And go buy her book right now.
Right now.
Go do it.
Right now.
And then go sit with someone who needs, you know, little bit of encouragement.
Always.
And when I say that, I mean, keep your mouth shut and just sit there.
Yes. There you go. Okay. And just listen. Preach it. Put the food in your mouth and let them talk.
Yes.
That sounds beautiful. Good.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Bye for now.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.